While she's taking up the offering, I just want to share why we do not have a band. They are at a camp with someone, YWAM camp, and they asked them to help this whole weekend. So we said, okay, cool, we give you off and we will go by YouTube or what is this. So that's why we don't have a band. But we still praise and honor God through this. Enjoy.
Send us out, Father. Send us out. We've got to go. We've got to tell the other people how awesome and how great you are. We've been singing it. We've been singing about Jesus, your Son, who came, that we can have eternal life along with you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that this afternoon is going to be an opportunity again, Father, that we can come closer to you, Lord, that we can hear more from you, that we can understand who you are as a Father. You love us so much that you've sent your Son, because you want all of us to be with you forever and ever in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Good afternoon to all of you. I've been a little bit absent, although it was only for one Sunday, but I'm back again. As we were singing, I felt that the Holy Spirit was saying, I've got to invite people in the last week or in the last 2 weeks that you felt you came closer to God, that something has happened in your life, that you said, that was really, I felt I was coming closer to God, because I feel this is where we're going to talk about this afternoon, is coming closer to God. So yes, if I got that feeling, then there must be somebody who says, yes, it happened with me, I came closer to God in the last week or in 2 weeks. No? Nobody? You want to share something? Come, Simeon. You can take the microphone over here.
So the thing is, I was very busy before last 2 weeks. I had to defend my master thesis and I had a lot of work to do. And I was always saying to me, okay, when I'm done, I will spend more time with God, I will start praying regularly, I will put efforts into that and stuff like that. So now I was suddenly done, and I said to myself, okay, I should start doing that. And it was hard, you know, you want to sleep, you don't want to pray and stuff like that. So I said, no, I should start, yeah, I should do that. And I forced myself with my will and started praying, and first I didn't know what to pray for, because okay, I'm good, but then God started showing me stuff, and that's what I continue praying and regularly, and now I think I will do even more. I will continue even more, because it's really joy, because while praying I suddenly realized that I need to break curses and to repent for sins and stuff like that. And when I did that, suddenly I felt something went out from my body, and I said, oh, I'm free, I feel more free than I was in the past, huh? And glory to God. And the thing is, yeah, what he says, that's what I'm doing now. I want to go closer to God, and I will continue. So suddenly now I hear him. Is there people who want to do it? Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Thank you, Simeon. Anyone else who wants to share a testimony in that line? I'm doing now.
Yeah, Renee sent me a video earlier this week about a video teaching on renewing the mind. And normally I'm not much of the video teaching, listening type. But I just thought, okay, you know, she sends it, it's probably good, let me listen to it. And this woman, the way she spoke about what it does to your body and your soul and your spirit when you speak bad things about yourself, or you speak limitations about yourself. And it really put some things back into my mind that I always used to do, like, I can't do this, or I'm not good at that. And for me, it was very specific, and I'm not an easy learner. I'm smart, but I'm slow, and I don't learn well from books, and it's difficult. So that's why it's so hard to study also in the Bible, and it's just not my thing. And then I realized, oh, I'm just constantly putting myself down. And I just thought, okay, I need to repent of this. I need to repent of speaking bad about myself and speaking limitations about myself. So I, from that moment on, I chose, okay, I want to speak prosperity. I want to speak in I can, because God made me in his image. And God is not an idiot. So that's it. That one is easy. And God is smart and he's intelligent and he knows everything. So he didn't make me to fail. He made me to prosper. So yeah, that really, really got to me. So, and I just found it amazing how watching that, you know, the Holy Spirit just spoke all these memories into my brain again to realize, oh, this is where I'm going wrong and that's what I need to repent of. And yeah, I think that's just amazing.
Awesome. Thank you, Colleen. The word what I got, what I've got to preach about is follow me this afternoon. And then follow me is what Jesus started calling his disciples. And we can read it in Matthew 4, verses 19. And when he said, then he said to them, that's Jesus then Jesus said to them, follow me, and when I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus is now calling Peter and Andrew over here. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now these people were fishing. And if we take a look at the fishermen at that time, they were poor. They were not... I've got to be very careful with the type of wording that I'm using over there. Let's say they were not well educated. They were not people with degrees in their pockets or anything like that, or diplomas. They knew how to fish because their father has taught them how to do it. Those were people of business, which means they knew of working hard. Early in the morning, get out, get your boat into the sea or on the Lake of Galilee over there and get your fish. And then those people, it was also sometimes what we know about that story when Jesus was in a boat with a storm. It's not always that safe as well. So now those type of people, this is what Jesus is calling now, to follow them. And then Peter and Andrew, like the Bible says, they immediately left their nets and they followed him. So where they're busy with, they dropped it and they followed Jesus. Jesus called exactly the same way for James and John. And then it's written over there as well. They also left. They also immediately followed Jesus. They left the boat and their father. So what they were doing, they were leaving the nets, they were leaving the boats, and they were leaving their father. So where they were busy with, which was high on their priority list, what is the daily bread, they left it. Family as well, which is close to you, and they follow Jesus. And yeah, that is, it's not easy, and it's not that... that we would do it quite easily. We're going to speak about it a little bit later. But they left. They left one thing, and they followed Jesus. They followed him because Jesus invited them. Said, please, or not please, follow me. It's actually, I think, more the type of an instruction. And then what Jesus also is saying is, yeah, they had to follow him because he was going to disciple them. Now, we all know is, I'm not that media fundi, so I've got to be careful again with those words as well. You can follow on Facebook, you can follow on Twitter. That's easy, that's just a click. And then you can still decide if you want to click again, if you want to read a message. But if they were going to follow Jesus as the teacher, then it was something different. Because it was a rabbi and you were going to stay with that person. You were going to eat with that person. You were going to spend 24 hours per day with that person. So you continuously in his companion around there. And Jesus was calling them, that they were going to have fellowship with him. And it's also that Jesus is calling 12 disciples. And if we take a look at God using 12 tribes to start Israel as a nation over there, Jesus is taking 12 disciples to start the church, also to start something new. So they had to leave and they had to follow them. He also said to them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So he gave them a certain things where they were going to look forward to. You're going to be fishermen of men. This is what you're going to do. And then, yes, if we take a look at how Jesus worked with them, Jesus was showing them how to do it. Then they had to do it themselves. We know of the 70 and the 20 which they've been sending out. Then they came back and they must probably had a type of a call it a feedback session with the pros and cons of what went wrong and what went good over there. And then later on, when Jesus went back to heaven, he basically sent them out and he said, now you've got to go. And he equipped them. He gave them the Holy Spirit that they were equipped to do the work what they've been trained for. Now I'm going to ask a question and I'm going to ask you to quickly to chat a minute about it. Can I get the question? It's coming. Do we differ from the disciples who were called to follow Jesus? That calling what Jesus has been doing to the disciples and saying to him, follow me, is that follow me also applicable for us? Is it not applicable for us? Is it exactly the same with the is sign in between? So exactly the same as Jesus called the disciples, he's calling us as well. What's your opinion about it? Just quickly chat for a minute. You don't have to quote the whole Bible when you're trying to defend yourself, yes or no. Okay, on average, just lift your hands and who says yes, it is, as Jesus was calling the disciples, he's calling us as well. Okay, so please remain seated and we're going to carry on. That's good. It's exactly the same. And yeah, we also have got to leave. We've got to leave our nets. We've got to leave our boats. We've got to leave our family. Because if I'm going to ask you to raise the hands and say, okay, who hasn't got a relationship with the family anymore as a result of your decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you haven't got a healthy relation, then most probably there are going to be a few who are going to raise their hands. You don't have to do that. But yes, you left your family. You left that relationship because your relationship with Jesus was more important as that relationship with a family member. And it sounds strange, but you can pray for them. And we've got to change. So we've got to change from the things what we are so used to do and where we are so good in and what is also actually close to our heart. We've got to change. We've got to refocus. We've got to get the list of priorities to get it right again. Certain things we've got to leave physically, like what me and my wife left our house and we came over here. So we physically left. And other things is we've got to leave it in our mind. We've got to move that priority list. So the things we'll be busy with, we've got to move it down, which was more important for us, and we've got to put Jesus, we've got to put him first. And then it's also what time is concerned, and it's actually awesome that you mentioned it, Simon, but that is typically a problem, what time is concerned. It's so many times it is that we say, I haven't got time. I haven't got time to read the Bible. I haven't got time to do this, or I haven't got time to that, to keep that relationship with God, to keep it in contact. Those of us who are in a relationship at the moment with husband and wife or boy and girlfriend or anything like that, you're aware of that. If you don't put time in that, that relationship doesn't work. If I'm going to see Renee only on a Sunday for an hour, it's not going to work. I won't do that. So it's very important. And I just want to read Matthew 4:19 again, but I just want to read it as it is in the Amplified, which is giving us a little bit more description of what it actually means to follow me. And Jesus said to them, to the disciples, follow me as my disciples, accept me as your master and your teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk, and I will make you fishermen, fishers of men. So it's a different, they make him the type of where they want to copy. They want to copy what Jesus has been doing. And Jesus was doing an in-house training with them. In the Netherlands, they will call it a stageloper, so which basically means you are over there, you check the person, and then steadily you're going to copy, till at the final end you do exactly what a person has been doing. Now I'm going to show you a whole list of commandments, what Jesus has been giving in that period to the disciples. Jesus said to them, take up your cross and follow me. Love God with all of your heart, with your soul, your mind, and your strength. Rejoice and leap for joy in the worst persecution. So you still have got to have joy, even if it's going bad with you. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Always pray and do not lose heart. Now that always means it's a lot of time that you've got to pray. But you've got to trust God. Don't be anxious about anything. Humble yourself and be a servant of everyone. I think a lot of us would be battling with that. We say, I'm not going to be a servant of everyone. We'll be selective. First few people I will serve, but not all of them. Don't hold any grudges. Not so easy. We most probably have somebody in our past where we say, no, it's really difficult for me to forgive that person, not having any grudge against that person anymore. But Jesus has been saying that to the disciples. Jesus is saying it to us as well. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. It's a narrow gate. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be a wide highway with a lot of pleasure. Sometimes difficult. Exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were doing the things, and by doing the things, showing everybody what they were doing, they thought they were in the right place. Jesus is telling them, this is not what you've got to do over there. Love your neighbor as yourself. Difficult, because sometimes we meet people at work, in the bus, in the train. You won't give them directly a hug. Just keep a little bit of a safe distance. You don't want to speak to them. The next one, even more difficult, love your enemies. Before you're going to shoot them, quickly walk over and give them a hug. No, it's difficult. But those are the things what Jesus has been saying to his disciples. What he said, okay, these are the commandments, what I'm asking you to do. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven and not in earth. Because what we are trying to gather over here, what earth is concerned, you're not going to take it along. There's not a trailer or a container or anything like that when you go on a funeral that you see, okay, that's what that guy is taking to heaven. No, it's not taking anything to heaven. So whatever you've gathered over here, it's not going along to heaven. Don't take oaths. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. And render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So if you're playing with the tax, pay the tax what you've got to pay. The Dutch system is quite good, so they will make sure that you pay. Let your light shine before men, that you may see, that they may see your good deeds. So that we really have got to show the light, what Jesus has given us, that we can reflect it to the other people. And the last one, make disciples of all nations. Now that is a type of an instruction which is a never-ending instruction. Your whole life you can be busy with it, telling other people how good and how awesome and how great God is, what we've been singing just now as well. So there's no end to it. Now if we take that whole list, what we've seen, what the commandments, the instructions, what Jesus has been asking his disciples, then you must think, okay, the disciples were along with him. They must probably at a certain time, they shook their head and say, Jesus, are you sure about it? Everything, all those things, must we really do this and that and that? But there's a little bit of a difference in it. If we take a look at if certain things are going to change, then it makes it easier to do these type of things. And there were seven of them which I picked up from somewhere, but I just want to read them, and that made also for me more sense. If we are born again, then these type of instructions makes much more sense for us. Then we say, okay, now I can understand it. Because if I'm not born again, then you say, okay, this is a list of instructions, a list of tasks, a list of commandments what Jesus is giving, but it doesn't really make sense to me. But if you're born again, then you know you've got a relationship with Jesus, and you've got a relationship with the Father. You want to come closer to him. What Jesus is saying as well, come to me, all who labor and have a heavy laden. If we're battling with having grudges to other people and so on, it keeps our mind busy. Then we haven't got time to get rid of that stuff which has been bothering us. But if we can drop it at the cross, if we can leave it at the cross, we do not have to take it any further. Jesus also said, believe in me, I'm the fountain of living water. Water again is so necessary in our life. And Jesus is saying over here, I'm the fountain of the living water. You've got to come and you've got to drink from me. So there we've got continuously, we've got to get what we need. Repent of all self-reliance and sin. Yeah, if we can get rid of all those things which keep us busy, which we think is so necessary for ourselves, the I, the me, the myself, that is very high up in our priority list, if we can move that a little bit away and we can focus on Jesus, then these type of things are going to be easier. Love me, love Jesus above all the others as a supreme satisfying, so that we really focus on Jesus. Listen to me, my words are life. I'm going to come back just now to that one again, that my word, that's the Bible. We've got to listen to what the Bible is saying, and we've got to read what the Bible is saying over there. And then also abide in me like a branch in a life-giving vine. We've got to be connected up to God. We've got to have that link. And if we've got that link, then we can draw, then we can receive. And then it makes it much easier if we take a look at all those commandments. We never will be able to all do all of them. The disciples never managed to do all of them. But it doesn't matter. It is, they are there. We can work on it. Some of them are going to be easier for us. Some of them are going to be more difficult for us. But we can start with it. And this is what Jesus is telling us what we should do. For the disciples, it was also very difficult to obey. In John 6, it says over there, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, and then Jesus is referring that Jesus was saying, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you're not going to have, you are not going to have any life in you. Then the people replied, the disciples who were around him, not the 12, but quite a lot of disciples around him, and they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Who can accept it? Who can be content with it? That Jesus is saying, you've got to eat my flesh, because it sounds very strange. If you're saying that to your followers, you've got to eat my flesh and you've got to drink my blood. But it was symbolic. This is how Jesus was saying over that. And then when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about it, he said to them, does this offend you? This is a word what we hear quite often. But Jesus is asking them. He first said, okay, you've got to eat my flesh, you've got to drink my blood. And then they say, difficult to understand. And then Jesus says, does this offend you? What then if you see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak to you, or spirit, and they are life. And there Jesus is referring then to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is life and giving us life. But there's some of you who do not believe. So Jesus knew what he was talking, what the disciples were talking about, that they find it difficult to understand all these commandments, what they had to do. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I say to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. And then from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So even of the disciples which were around Jesus, they walked away. At a certain, I'm not quite sure where it is and written somewhere, but I've heard something like 75 of them. It could even be more, could be less, but it doesn't matter. People who've been following Jesus, who've been seeing the miracles what Jesus has been doing, who heard the words what he's been saying, where he was quoting scripture, and so on, who've seen all those things, that they turned around and said, no, I'm not going to follow Jesus any longer. Not of the 12, but of the others who were all around it. Sometimes I wonder, if Jesus would have been walking around here, how many followers Jesus would have? Would we be following Jesus then? Or would we say, no, just by accident that a guy can do so many miracles or anything like that. So yes, there were disciples who found it too difficult to follow him and said, we're out, we're not going to go any further. And what Jesus is actually giving to us, there are two things in it, what I just wanted to actually focus on. And one is that Jesus is giving us instructions which are unique to each and every one of us. Which means that Jesus is going to use us on a unique way to reach the goal that all the nations are going to be reached with the gospel. It's not going to be exactly the same. So the one is going to be used for what I'm doing over here, what preaching is concerned. The other one is going to be used for sound is concerned. The other one is going to be used to make a cup of coffee for a person who needs a conversation. The other one is going to be used to make a cup of soup for somebody who hasn't got any food, and so on and so on. We're all going to be used in different ways. So it's not to say if you're going to be a disciple, you've got to be able to preach, to make coffee, to make soup, to do the sound. No, it's different. We're not going to be all the same. And then the other is, we do not have to compare to each other. So we don't have to say, okay, if I can preach as good as what Reinhard Bonke can do, if I can heal is what Todd White is doing, if I can preach is what John Bevere is doing and writing books like him, then I'm a good disciple. No, it's not necessary. We are unique and we don't have to compare ourselves to each other. And I just want to read that one, this one part over here in John 21. This is now at the end when Jesus was already crucified and resurrected. And the first line, I liked it actually very much. So when they had eaten breakfast, so which means it's scriptural, it's more for the male persons over here, it is scripture to eat breakfast in the morning. So if your wife says, no, we are going to skip breakfast, and you say, no, it's in the scripture, we eat breakfast. So when they had eaten breakfast and they had fished that morning, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And then Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Simon said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then Jesus is saying, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. It's the second time that Jesus is saying to him, follow me. So he's telling him, when you were younger, you could decide yourself where you want to go. Gird, basically, fasten your belt, where do you want to go, and so on. And then Jesus is saying to him, and you will stretch out your hand. So he was going to be crucified, exactly the same as what Jesus' way was going to be crucified. And another one will gird you, another one will bind you, another one will actually fasten you and will carry you where you do not wish to go. So this is what Peter got. What I also want to mention over here, if something in your life happened, which isn't good, because if we take a look at just before the crucifixion, it was three times that Peter said, I don't know Jesus, when somebody asked him, I don't know Jesus, I don't know Jesus. It's not if we've got a problem in our life, then that problem is separating us a little bit from God. That is not going to allow us to come back again. We can always come back to God. We can always come back. He's always there to waiting for us. But yes, we sometimes choose the easier option and we ignore then for Jesus, as what Peter has been doing then. And Jesus just restored that Anila would say, that relationship again between him and Peter, because he also said to Peter, but you're going to be the key, you're going to be the church. And I just want to mention there as well, so if you feel in your life something happened and you feel, okay, that disqualifies you as to being a disciple for Jesus, you can always come back. You always can repent of those things what happened, and you can always come back again, that you can be a disciple for Jesus. And then I want to read the next part, which was for me also very interesting, in John 21, verses 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper. And this is now John himself. So it is in John. He's talking about John, but he's not putting his name over there. He's just mentioning what he has been doing. At that last supper, he has been leaning on Jesus' breast. And he also said at that time, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? It was John who asked Jesus, who is the one who is betraying you? And Peter seeing him, this Peter seeing John, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? What about John? And then Jesus said to Peter, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And what Jesus is basically saying there to Peter, mind your own business. Don't worry about John. This is my problem. It's between me and John. It hasn't got anything to do. So there I want to say as well, do not compare with other people. That you say, okay, that person is doing this and that person is doing that. What is going to happen with him and what's going to happen with that? Focus on your relationship with God, because you've got to hear from God how God wants to use you and what has got to be done. And it's actually very nicely, I nearly would say, what Jesus is saying, what is that to you? Normally we would say, it's not your business. Keep your nose out of it. Something like that. But Jesus is saying it very polite and political to Peter over here. And what has Jesus been teaching them? What has Jesus been teaching the disciples? As we said before, Jesus was asking the disciples, follow me, and Jesus is asking us, follow me. Because we said in the beginning, yes, we agree, that's exactly the same. What has Jesus been teaching him, the disciples, and what can we learn from that? And is this what Jesus has been saying to the disciples? Is it applicable, directly applicable? Is it exactly the same? And I would say it's exactly the same. It doesn't differ anything. It's exactly the same what Jesus has been saying to the disciples, and he's saying to us as well. And there's only one way that we can actually find out what Jesus has been saying, and that's the Bible. And as I was busy with the sermon, myself also, I found out I'm not spending enough time. I'm not reading the Bible. If I want to find out what Jesus wants the disciples to do, and Jesus wants us to do, but I'm not opening this, I'm never going to find out. But a lot of times we say, I haven't got time. And if I read, then I fall asleep and this and that and that. I also have got to get to a top of a schedule or a reading plan or whatever the case may be, that I open up the Bible, that I read, that I say, but okay, what is actually in it? What is the Lord telling me? And what is Jesus telling his disciples what has got to be done? Last week, somebody asked me and said, I've got a problem. If I want to read the Bible, I can't read. I maybe read one or two sentences and then I'm stuck. I'm not getting the pleasure. I'm not getting that excited about reading it. And I asked him, I said, but do you pray beforehand? And he said, he's not praying beforehand. I said, but pray beforehand and ask the Lord that you can focus on it, that your mind can be set on reading the Bible, that you go basically with an expectation when you start reading the Bible, when you open it up. And also bind whatever wants to take you away from it. We've got authority. I've been praying, preaching over it 2 and 3 weeks back in the name of Jesus Christ. We've got that authority. So we can say in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever wants to disturb me, whatever wants to distract me, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You've got that authority. And then you start reading. And then most of the time we also say, but it's sometimes a little bit boring to start and I don't know what to do exactly. And I found in YouTube, but I just now want to show to you, which is maybe interesting if you're going to start and read a new book. That you, let's say you want to read the one which I'm going to show you over here now is James. Before you're going to start James, just look at that video clip. It's telling you quite a lot about James. So when you're going to read that book then, you already go with a certain amount of expectation. We can have a look at that video clip now.
The letter of James, or at least that's his name in English. If you look in the Greek, you will see that his name is Iakobos, which translates his Hebrew name Yaakov. And that's why most ancient and modern translations render his name as Jacob. That's what we're going to call him in this video. Now, there are many Jacobs in the New Testament. Two of them belong to Jesus' inner circle of the 12 disciples, but this letter comes from the Jacob who was the half-brother of Jesus himself. Now, we learn this Jacob's story from the book of Acts and from Paul's letters. After Peter moved on from Jerusalem to go start new churches, Jesus' half-brother Jacob rose to prominence as a leader in the mother church in Jerusalem. It was made up mostly of Messianic or Christian Jews. This was the first Christian community ever, and we know that it fell on hard times during the 20 years that Jacob was its leader. There was a famine that led to great poverty in the region, and these Messianic Jews were being persecuted by Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. But through it all, Jacob was known as a pillar of the Jerusalem church. He was also known as a peacemaker who led with wisdom and courage until he was tragically murdered. And in this book, we have the legacy of Jacob's teaching and wisdom condensed into a short and very powerful work. The book begins like a letter. He greets all the Messianic Jews who are living outside the land of Israel. But this does not read like one of Paul's letters where he addresses specific problems in one local church. Rather, this book is a summary of Jacob's sage wisdom for any and every community of Jesus' followers. And Jacob's goal isn't to teach new theological information. Rather, he wants to get in your business and challenge how you live. Jacob's wisdom has been heavily influenced by two sources. The first is Jesus' teaching about life in the kingdom of God, especially the Sermon on the Mount, which he's constantly echoing and quoting in the book. The second key influence is the biblical wisdom book of Proverbs, especially the poems in Proverbs 1 through 9. Jacob literally grew up with Jesus and with the book of Proverbs, and so now his own teaching sounds like them. It's stamped by their language and imagery. The book consists of short, challenging wisdom speeches that are full of metaphors and easy-to-memorize one-liners. And in essence, Jacob is calling the Messianic community to become truly wise by living according to Jesus' summary of the Torah, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. The body of the book is in chapters 2.
If you, this one is carrying on for another 6 minutes, I think it is, but I'm not going to show everything. But when I saw this one the first time, I thought, yes, if I would have seen this video clip before I was going to read James, it would give me a little bit of an indication. It's talking about, it's getting information from Matthew of Jesus' Sermon on the Mountain, and it's also getting information from Proverbs. And then you can see those type of things going through the books. And then you charge yourself up when you're opening up the book and you're going to start read. The video clip, after the sermon, I will give it to you if you want to. It has got, of all the books of the Bible, it has got this video clip. So it makes it interesting to before you're going to read, to have a little bit of a background. Because we're talking about a half-brother of Jesus who's been writing this book. Some people say a half-brother, was Jesus' parents divorced? No, this is how it works. It was his half-brother, and so on, and so on. So those are the type of things which makes it interesting that you say, okay, you think a little bit different and you look a little bit different to what a book is concerned. So we need to read the Bible. I also need to read the Bible. If I want to follow Jesus and if I want to do what he's asking me to do, I've got to read the Bible. I've got to find it out. There's no other way what we can do that. And I want to finish off with three questions. The first one is, where are we in following Jesus? Jesus has called us. Jesus has called the disciples. Where are we? Are we prepared to leave certain things behind, like our nets, our boats, and our family, and to follow Jesus? Or do we say, wait a moment, Jesus, it has got to be on my condition, otherwise there's not an agreement. It is a call from Jesus what he says, come, follow me. This is what Jesus is asking. So we've got to ask ourselves, where are we in following Jesus? The next question what I ask is, where are we in a relationship with God the Father? We've got a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm not talking about the Father. Where are we in that relationship with God? Are we praying? Are we spending time to pray? Or is it quickly a 5 minutes, or as I'm driving to work, I can get in one or two prayers and pray maybe for somebody which is unsaved, and then I'm at work. Or are we really spending time? Or are we really on our knees? Or are we really, in intimate with God, that we can cry, that we can laugh, that we can sing, that we can shout, that we can do those type of things? Are we really there? Where are we in our relationship with God the Father? And the last one is, are we open for the Holy Spirit? Or are we closed? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us? Are we allowing the power of the Holy Spirit, that energy what the Holy Spirit has got, are we allowing that to flow through us? Or are we closing ourselves up? We're all busy with what we can say is spiritual maturity. And I just would like to look at the verse in Ezekiel, which is giving us 5 levels of spiritual maturity, to give you a little bit of a comparison and maybe helps you a little bit to find an answer on, where are we in opening up for the Holy Spirit? Where are we that we can say, Father, you can work through us? Ezekiel 47. When the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. A cubit is the distance from your point of your finger to your elbow over here. They say it's a 45.72 centimeters. I haven't measured mine, but it's just to give you an indication. This is how they've measured. So you measured 1,000 of them. 1,000 cubits. And he brought me to the through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me to the waters. And the water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And then he brought me and returned me back, and he returned me to the bank of the rivers. And here we can see five levels of spiritual maturity. The first one is not actually mentioned, but the first one is where he's out of the water, out of the Holy Spirit whatsoever, which means you're totally in your own control. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to even come close to you. You're on dry land. Then the other one, you are a little bit in the water. It's ankles, ankle deep. You feel the Holy Spirit, sometimes maybe get a little bit cold feet as well, and maybe sometimes you step out again, but there's a little bit of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Then you go a little bit further, and then it goes up to your knees. Okay, where my knees or some other people have got their waist, but okay, that is it is, then you're all with your knees. Now we know if you're standing in water up to your knees, the water can toss you a little bit around, but you're in control, you're stable. With my size of shoes, I would be quite stable in water with when it is up to my knees. The next one is it up to your waist. Then it comes a little bit, because then sometimes you can be thrown around and you can even fall over into the water. But it's going about the last one. The last one, I'm not relying on myself anymore. I'm not standing on my feet anymore. I'm letting the Holy Spirit take me whatever has got to be taken me. And this is what I pray, that this afternoon that we are coming closer to God, that we can find out more and that we can receive more. We're going to start with prayer and fasting tomorrow. We're going to break it on Wednesday. And my suggestion is also, when you're going to break it on Wednesday, if possible, do it in a family, or otherwise call two or three and come together. We haven't got formal small groups, otherwise it would have been broken over there. But do that you can just pray together. Don't go and sit on your own. And if you're going to sit on your own on Wednesday, please phone me and Renee, then otherwise we'll make a plan. But that in that fasting and prayer as well, what we said before, that we've got to pray, we've got to speak to the Father, that we're going to spend time, we're going to find out, Lord, but where do you want to use us for? How do you want to use me? What must I do for you? And then the other thing, it's not only about me and God, but it's also about how are you going to help us, what Shofar is concerned, inside the Shofar Church. Ask the Lord. And if the Lord is going to tell you that you've got to learn to play drums, you've got to help us with the band over here, then the Lord has spoken like that, then you've got to start learning drums. If it is something else that you've got to start singing or whatever, I don't know. I don't know where the Lord is going to tell you. But fast and prayer and go and seek His face and learn about it. Coming back to the spiritual maturity through the five levels, we're not going to jump from being outside of the water totally in the deep side and you can't swim anymore. There are stages. And we steadily move from the one to the other one. And I think most of the time you people will know, where are you? What is actually happening in your life? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit? Are you recognizing the Holy Spirit? Or are you controlling the Holy Spirit, or you're quenching the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit cannot work through you? Can I ask you to stand? Heavenly Father, we come to you as your disciples. You've called us. As what Jesus has been saying, follow me. You're also saying to us, we've got to follow you. And Father, maybe this afternoon, maybe there's somebody who hasn't started following you yet, Father. And as we were talking about it, that it looks a little bit too far, that they say, but I haven't accepted Jesus as my Savior yet. I haven't acknowledged that you are the Father in my life, that you are the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, and I pray that the Holy Spirit is going to stir that person's heart, Lord. And I'm giving an opportunity now. If you may be the one who hasn't made that decision yet, that you say, Jesus Christ is my Savior, I want to accept him as my Savior, and I want to accept the Father as the creator of heaven and earth, and I want to be in a relationship with him. If you've never made that decision in your life, and you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you this afternoon, that you want to make that decision, then I'm going to invite you to put up your hand that we can see if you want to make that decision this afternoon or not. And the next invitation, Lord, what I would like to send to those people, to the people who are here this afternoon, Lord, and even to the people who are maybe listening to the sermon afterwards. If you feel you are at the stage where you would like to move deeper into the water, that the Holy Spirit can take more control, that you can, instead of praying in the morning for good weather and good traffic and that you can get to work, that you can pray, Father, let today somebody cross my road who needs the gifts what you've given to me, that I can be a help for somebody else. Father, I pray if there are people who say, yes, but I would like to make a next step, or maybe at the moment ankle or maybe knee deep or maybe waist deep, but I really would like to make that step. I want to go deeper into the water. I want to let the Holy Spirit flow more through me, Father. And I pray, and I'm actually giving an invitation now to come forward, that me and Renee can anoint you, and that if the Holy Spirit is giving us anything, if we get some word, that we can give you word, but that you can move into your next level of spiritual maturity, that we can come closer to the Father, that we can learn more from how awesome and how great he is, and that we can learn from Jesus, that we can start reading the Bible and really spend time with you, Father. That we can make that progress, that we can see it as a spiritual maturity, that we can come closer to you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to repeat that invitation again. If you feel that the Holy Spirit has been stirring you this afternoon and you feel that you are at a certain level and you would like to go deeper into the water, come forth. Then we're just going to anoint you, me and Renee, and if the Lord has got something what we can give to you, we're going to give to you. It is not compulsory to do it, but if you feel yes, you would like to walk closer and you want to come closer to God and you want to learn more, the Lord is always waiting for us. It's us who've got to make that step. And if we're not making a step, nothing is going to happen. It's an open invitation. In the meantime, we're going to sing a song as well. There's coffee and tea afterwards. I will have that link for that Bible as well. Feel free to come forward. There's no obligation. Thank you.